You, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. On last week, we got started. We're still on the prophets. As you know, we've covered the apostles. Most of you have already gone online and printed out your apostles, duties executed by an apostle. I know you've done that already, so I don't have to mention anything. So it's online for you when you get ready to go through it. I tell you what, let's turn to one of our basic scriptures. And like I said, we covered the apostles, and what we're going to do, we're going to continue along our prophets and talk about the prophets. Our apostle ministered on the prophetic voice yesterday, which was awesome. If you get your hands, you can get your hands on the MP3, get it and listen to it. It's very, very good. And so I started to come in and just bring that MP3 in and hook it up and let y'all listen to that today. But I'm going to go ahead and teach my little lesson here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Looking at 27 and 28 in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I always read scripture. I go back and read it because one of the things that I understand about the Word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing, and then I see it again, by hearing and by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. So we have, we hear it enough. Then we can have faith for it, and once we have faith for it, then we can act on that which we hear. I taught new members here, and one of the classes I taught was a faith class, and I got it from our apostle when he was teaching. During the time he was teaching, he gave us an awesome definition of faith, and I need you to put it in your notes for me. We know Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But he also gave us another awesome definition that has been revealed to me. And the definition goes this way. It says, faith is a spiritual force drawn from the living word to provide living proof. It's a spiritual force drawn from the living word to provide living proof. So you get a word from God. As I told you last week, we're obligated to hear that word. We're obligated to apply that word. And then once we apply it, then we have manifestation of what God has told us to do. In every instance, when God give a person a word from the man of God or from the prophet, they have to act on it in order for it to manifest in their life. Last week I gave you that scripture over in Matthew chapter 13. Let's stay here for and now you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So it's God's government that he set up. God is the one who set this government up. And so if we're going to operate it in it the way he set it up and expect the results, then we're going to have to do it the way he told us to do it. He gave us apostles, which hears from heaven. He gave us prophets, which hears from heaven. Then the teachers and evangelists and the pastors come along and expound on what the prophets and apostles have heard from heaven. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And like I said, when a man of God speaks, prophet speaks, then someone have to hear what he says, and then they have to act on what they says. When I left class last week, I gave you an analogy. What happens when people don't hear what the prophet says, and then the results cannot come forth? Matthew chapter 13. Beginning at verse 53. And so, but I left you in this hole, and I wanted to get you out of it before. So I'm gonna put you in the hole, and then I'm gonna get you out. Amen. It say in Matthew 13 and 53, it say, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, when had this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" So they saw what Jesus was doing, and they was actually astonished at what he was doing. But then when it's time for them to hear what he was saying, they could not act on it. They like I said, you have an obligation to act on what you hear. So they couldn't act on what he hear. And so they, rather than going into the realm of the spirit, they went back into the natural. And many times we who are in the body of Christ, we hear the man of God get up and minister to us. And he tell us, he prophesied to us, he say things to us. And then we say, well, that's just a man. And we don't believe what he say. And since we don't believe what we say, the manifestation he tell us about don't come to pass in our lives. So here in, you say they was astonished. And they asked, well, when had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Verse 55 say, and then they begin to ask questions. Say, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So they went back into his natural, who he was naturally. They started talking about his natural mother and his natural brother. And then verse, his sisters, are they not all with us? When then this had this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And so when if you become common with your man of God, then when he speaks to you, then you won't believe what he say come out of his mouth. So that's why we try not to get common, run around with our apostles, our pastors, because they are speaking to us from what God tells us. And we don't treat them as common. We treat them as men of God, and that they came from God. They're speaking for God, even though they are natural men. But God is the one who anointed them to give us this information. Here in our verse 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And so if no one believed what comes out of the prophet's mouth, then those manifestations that he spoke out of his mouth will not come to pass in your life. Matthew 10:41 gives us a perfect example of what Jesus was teaching about. And Matthew 10:41 say, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so if you know that he's a prophet, a man coming from God, and he's speaking for God, then what that which comes out of his mouth, then we receive it. We have an obligation. Again, we have an obligation to receive it. We have an obligation to apply it to our lives. And then once we apply it, then we have manifestation of those things which he said to us. Turn to Luke chapter 1. This is how God gets his what he wants into the earth. He gets it through men. And so he called prophets into existence, like he told Jeremiah. He said, before I form you in the womb, Jeremiah 1, he said, I call you to be a prophet. And then he said, the word of the Lord came to him. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 70, he said, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So when he began to speak to men, he speaks through his holy prophets. And when we say, well, how do he speak to his prophet? He gives them visions sometimes. He gives them trances sometimes. And but basically he reveals what he says unto them so they can speak to the people. In Acts chapter 3, just some foundational scriptures again. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, it says in verse Acts 3:21, it says, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So again, it says, since the world began, that's how God speaks to his through his holy prophets, and he bring them into existence to men. And like I say, you have to find someone who's going to believe what he's saying in order for God's word to come to pass in our lives. For as Moses, verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, he said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You shall hear Moses was prophesying about Jesus was coming. And what he was saying is that whatever he speaks to you, you have to hear it and you have to do it. You don't just have to hear it, but you have to apply it to your life in order for it to work for you. He's saying, and all these prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things. It was a foretelling of Jesus was coming. And so the prophets were speaking about Jesus and when he was coming. But the people began to believe what he said. So when they believed what he said, then it came into manifestation. Turn to Luke again, 24. Looking at verse 19, and this is when he was walking on, after he came back, he had risen from the dead, and he was walking on the Emmaus Road, and these two men was walking with him. And he said in verse 24:19, and he said unto them, he said, what things? They was talking to him. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. Mighty in deed and in word before all the people. And so, again, how God gets this information to his prophets, he revealed it through trances, he revealed it through visions, and he reveals it to their spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 5, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, it says that, let me start from verse 1, then we get down to 5. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you and Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, was given me to you, how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. By revelation, he made known unto me this mystery. Apostle Paul said, it was revealed to me, not by men, but by Jesus Christ himself. Everything that he wanted us to know, it was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I write afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, that is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. As now, he says, revealed by the apostles, revealed to his apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. One more scripture. Let's turn to Amos. One of those, it's in between there, so sometimes I have to go to the table of contents to find it. So, Amos chapter 2, chapter 3. Looking at verse 7, Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says in Amos 3, 7, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So again, here God said, nothing in the earth that I would do unless I first reveal it to the prophets. So he tell the prophets, and then the prophets come along. And as we are learning from our culture of honor here, that God has put these graces in these fivefold ministry gifts now, so that we can, that they can impart them to the body of Christ, that for the maturing of the saints, first of all, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the first three things. And at the end it says, until we all come in the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. And so as he revealed it to the prophets, they're hearing from heaven. They're hearing from God. And as they're hearing from God, then they come along and they reveal to us what the Spirit of God is saying. And so then as we are hearing, accurately acknowledge who they are. They are prophets that are speaking to us. That's part of what this culture of honor is about. Learning about accurately acknowledging who people are so we can receive the gift of who they are in our lives. And so if we're going to understand that God has set up this government in the earth realm, this is his kingdom. That's what Jesus was teaching about, his kingdom. That's why he would tell them. That's why he told his disciples. He said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as is in heaven. Prophet Isaiah prophesied about this kingdom was coming. In Isaiah 9 and 6, he told us that it was coming and that God was going to set this government up on his shoulder, on the shoulder of Jesus. And we see in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, where it says this kingdom is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus laid that foundation for us. The apostles and the prophets came along and built up on it. And then what we'll do, they'll take and impart to us those things which God has told them to tell us. Turn again to Jeremiah chapter 1. One of the mighty prophets of God. And here in Jeremiah chapter 1, again, the word of God, they said, the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in the Antioch and in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, into the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God said, before he said, you can go back and you can see Jeremiah. Jeremiah always think about what God was saying over Jeremiah at 29:11. What did he say? He said, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So God already have a destiny for all of us. And so as we are hearing from the men of God, and they're teaching us, they're training us, so we can actually reach our destiny if you're listening. And so God don't give you the whole picture. He don't give you everything, but he give it to you in bits and pieces. He might give you one statement. And so and that's why he say, Romans 8:16, he say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you have to be led by the Spirit. But many times as you're being led by the Spirit, it's coming out of the mouth of men that God has put over you, because what they're doing, they're praying, they're seeking heaven, they're giving you the word. And as you hear the word, then you're to act on that word. And as you act on it, you apply it to what God is telling you. And when you apply it, then it manifests itself. It said, before I formed you, thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And so, therefore, what did he do? He told you, one of the things our apostle was telling about was infirmities yesterday. And he said, if you glory in anything, he glory in his infirmities. So he was saying, I can't speak. And so he was letting God know, I can't do this by myself. I can't do this on my own. I have a firm infirmity here. I cannot speak. I'm like a child when it comes to telling people things. I can't stand in front of an audience and speak. I get nervous. I get scared. And so I can't. How am I tell them something you said when I speak as a child? And then the Lord says, goes on. And he said, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, you don't have to say nothing for yourself. He said, what I tell you, you speak what I tell you. All you have to do is speak what I tell you to speak. And when you do what I tell you, then you're not responsible for making it come to pass. God said, I'm responsible. That's why when you get down to Jeremiah 1:12, he tells what he said. He said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So he's going to root out some things. He's going to tear down some things. But he don't just leave it that way. He's going to build and then he's going to plant some things so it can multiply and build itself up. Moreover, the Lord, verse 11, said, moreover, the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I say, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So God said, if you speak it, I am responsible for making that word come to pass. You don't have to make it come to pass. Only thing you have to do is tell the people what I told you. What the words that I put in your mouth, you just speak them. And then when once someone grab hold to that word and act on it, then that's when God said, I am responsible for making my word come to pass. Remember when I told you that, turn to Ezekiel. He was another prophet of God. Ezekiel 1. And he speaks to us through his men of God. Through visions and through trances. And when I was studying this lesson, he said trances and visions. But then I saw Ezekiel. And when God began to speak to Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw some awesome things here in Ezekiel chapter 1. He was a prophet of God. And one of the things that Ezekiel said, let me read this for you. He said, now came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens was open, and I saw visions. I saw visions of God. I saw visions of God. And so, again, I can't let this pass because it was so good. One of the things that our apostle told us yesterday, that as we are, if we're going to operate in this supernatural, we have to be operating under an open heaven. Heavens have to be open in order for us to operate in the supernatural. Jesus gave us that example when he got baptized and he came up out of the water. It said the Spirit lit upon him like a dove, and the heavens was open, and a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." Over in Luke, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we're going to operate the way God set it up. The heavens have to be open to us. And so we should be operating, as apostles have already told us this year, that we are operating under an open heaven. So whatever comes out, whatever come out of the apostle's mouth, we can receive it and believe what he's saying and allow it to manifest in our lives. It says, again, it says, "And I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw a vision. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim, captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzu, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst there came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under the wing." So what he was saying, he said, the heavens was open. He said, "I saw a vision of God." And this is how he saw God when he saw him. He said, "I saw a vision of God," but he know God's hands was upon him. And so he said, that means that God is operating, and he's coming in into our situations so he can do something. As Ezekiel went on to prophesy over here in Ezekiel chapter 3, I wanted you to see this. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. And I begin to read here at verse 10. It says, verse 10, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go and get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." He said, don't worry about whether they'll hear or not. I want you to speak those words to them. Whatever I tell you to say to my people, I want you to speak those words to my people. And it's up to them to receive it. I mean, watch what the Spirit of God says. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, "Blessed be God, the glory of the Lord from his place." I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched me one another, and the noise of the wheels against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou giveth them not the warning, nor speaketh to warn them the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So what he's saying, when God said, when I speak to a prophet, that he's obligated to give that word to the people I send him to. And if you don't, if you give them the word and they if you don't give them the word and they die in the iniquity that he told them not to do, then the blood of that individual is up on that prophet's hand. That's why prophets, when they speak for God, they're saying, this is what God said. Now, he goes on to say here, he say, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he should die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. He said, but you've told him what I told you to do. So since you told him what I told him to do, it's not on your hands anymore. I've taken it out of your hands. It's back on them again. So that's the bad part. But just think about the good parts. God said, if I tell you to tell them something good is going to happen to them and they don't take heed to that which I come out of my mouth to them, then it's on them that they did not receive the things that I told them that they could have. And so since they didn't receive it, he said, it's not on your hand anymore. It's on them. They are responsible now because you told them what I told you to do. I always go back to my favorite, one of my favorite stories in scripture, which is over in 2 Chronicles. And I like to read that. I like to go through it and pick out pointers. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And then I get in my lesson then, just giving you some foundational scripture, how important the prophet is to us as God has set up his government in the earth realm. It's important that we hear what the prophet is saying. It's important that we act on what he's saying in order for God to manifest the things that he said in his life. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and like I say, if you read that, you get so much information, so many principles in this particular passage of scripture, and you know, like I say, it almost preaches itself. This here in 2 Chronicles, and say here in 2 Chronicles, it says it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with their others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be a Hazan Tamar, which is in Judah. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courts and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thy hand is thou not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, a pestilence, a famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let us Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turn from them and destroy them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast out thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. He said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up on you. He said, we don't know what to do against them. Say, we don't have no power against them. Same thing as in the kingdom we are in when the enemy come against us. And many times we don't know what we're going to do. When we get a bad report from them, we have no idea. But that's when we go first go to God and we seek him first. And then when we seek him first, he's going to give us an answer. It might be he might give it to you in your spirit. But most time, if you've been praying, you've been seeking God for something, you're going to come to your next meeting, your very next meeting that you come to, that your man of God is going to have your word for that situation in his mouth. If you're sitting there, you listen and you're expecting to hear from God, he got your word in his mouth. And so when he gives it to you, when you speak it, you're going to know it's your word. But, you know, but it's up to you whether you're going to receive it and act upon it so you can get the manifestation of that which God has promised to you. He goes on to say, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, here come the prophet. Here come the man of God. Here come the word that they've been praying. They fell on their face. All Judah, all Jerusalem fell on their face seeking God. God, we don't know what to do. We know you're almighty God. You promise us. You got all these promises that you promise us in your word. You know, there's nothing that is too hard for you. So they were telling him who he was. And they say on 14, it says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, they were letting you know that he had a natural lineage. He wasn't a God. He was a natural man that God had appointed to be a prophet over the people. And see, even the king know that he was a prophet. So when he spoke that which came out of his mouth, they had to believe it. They had to receive it. And it goes on to say, and a Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. They always there, you know, people say, well, I can hear God for myself. But God didn't set it up that way. He set it up so that men could speak to us. He set it up that we can hear from men of God, prophets of God, that's always in the presence of God, hearing from heaven, finding out what we need for our particular situation. All these people, they was Jews. They understood about God. They knew who God was. They had been reading the scriptures. They knew scriptures. But God said, I spoke to a man to speak to you and tell you what you needed to do. And here in verse 15, it's saying, he said, hearken you all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thy king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you. He said, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And so they could have not heard that word, but what the king did, he wanted to make sure that everybody heard that word of God. So he came to the people and he expounded on them. He said, verse 20, he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, he said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then in verse 20 is the one I want you to see. Verse 20. Is what how God does it again. You see it here. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, he said, hear me, O Judah. He was a king over Judah, and he was a king over that area. But he wanted to make sure the people heard what the prophet had said and that they act on what the prophet had said that came out of his mouth. He said, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And he was saying that thing that you're seeking me for, he says, he done told him, he said, now, you know, you don't have to fight in this battle. And, but you know, in your natural senses, they could have went against that. They could have went out and said, well, you know, these people, these armies are coming against us. We got to do something. But the word of God came to him and said, you don't have to fight in this battle. You don't have to do this. He said, stand ye still and watch ye the salvation, your protection, your prosperity, your soundness of mind come against you, be with you. And God, he said, so he said, look, if you believe that God is, he said, you're going to be established, first of all. And he said, that's faith, having faith in God, that nothing is impossible with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And thirdly, if you got your word from the man of God, then that word which he spoke to you, you have to act on it. You have to believe it. And so what they did, they took and they began to act on that word. And rather than the king getting an army together to go out and fight against these four armies that was coming against him, he appointed praise warriors. And when he appointed those praise warriors, they went out and began to sing, you know, for God is good and his mercy endureth forever. That's their battle. That was their battle. They knew they didn't have to fight no more. So they can rejoice now because they got their word from God that they don't have to fight in this battle. And, you know, and so just stand still. And so what we do, we come down, we pray, we seek God, and we get our word from our man of God. And when he gives us our word, we go out and we try to do it ourselves. He done told us, he said, you don't have to do this. You don't have to fight in it. But we still trying to figure out how it's going to happen. God said, don't worry about it. I got this. He told them, he said, don't worry about this. You know, in today's vernacular, he said, don't worry, I got this. God said, I got this. And so when he said that, they took him at his word. And he said they went out and they appointed praise warriors. Let's read a little bit further. He said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord. For his mercy endured forever. And that's all they did. They just went out singing. And then they say all of them, they attacked each other. Those different armies, they killed, they ambushed each other, they killed each other. And then when Jehoshaphat and his people went out, it said they picked up among the dead bodies, they picked up all the spoils, and it took them 3 days to bring in the spoils. So everything that they needed, God said, I took care of it for you. So once I got the word from the word of God, then again, that's what I say. We have an obligation to hear what God is saying. We have an obligation to apply that which he said to our lives. And then when we apply it to our lives, then we see the manifestation, supernatural manifestation. God is a supernatural God. And if he told us that he revealed these words to his prophet, then we have to have faith that which he come out of his mouth, God has said it. And since he has said it, then God said, I will hasten my word to perform it. And God said, I'm responsible for making that word come to pass in your life. Not anybody else. Not you. You can't do it. But God said, I'm going to do that. So if we believe God, yeah, we're going to be established. And we believe his prophets, we shall be prosper. Amen. Let me give you a few pointers from the lesson, and because I was trying to build a little foundation there. It says, success is built through the value we maintain for the prophetic voices in our environment. For the prophetic voices. Again, there was a lot of prophecy went out yesterday from our apostle. And like I say, you go out and you get that MP3. It's been downloaded, uploaded on the net. And so just get it and listen to it. Listen to it at least once. And then, you know, take heed to some of that prophecy that came forth. And your life will greatly multiply. Amen. Because of our prosperity come through our agreement with heaven's culture. And the prophets clarify that reality, that culture for us, and invite us to enter in. And so when the prophets speak to us again, he invites us to come into heaven's culture. Like in this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles, God said, they told him, you know, this is heaven's, this is where heaven operates. Heaven says, you know, man want to fight with spears and swords and shields, but God said, I fight differently. He told, you know, so since I fight devil, you don't have to fight. I'm gonna show you another way of doing it. So God's way is different from our ways. The apostles keeps us believing, but the prophets keep us expecting that God is on the scene. That God is coming. God is gonna do this. Again, that's that word. If you believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established. That's from the word of the prophet. So since it's out of his mouth, we can expect, we can have faith that what God says, how we hasten my word to perform it, we can expect God to do what he says he's going to do. The dynamic ways in which God speaks to the prophets, including dreams, visions, and trances, creates awareness of God's involvement with us. And so it's in the web. And I was showing you that scripture over in Ezekiel where he began to see some things. The heavens was open. We think about Stephen over in the book of Acts. He said, and the heavens was open, and he saw just as he was about to be stone. He said he saw Jesus standing up. We know Jesus is sitting down on the right hand of God, but he saw Jesus standing up, cheering him on. These supernatural tools introduces an infusion of sensitivity towards heaven's activity and plans. And so, again, when the prophet speaks to us and tell us what God has said, and then it tells us God's plans and his purposes. Turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And looking at verse 11, and again, this will be our meditation scripture for this week, Jeremiah 29 and 11. And the word of God says here in 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God said, "I always think peace for you." In our new, in this government that God set up, he says, "Of his peace there shall be no end." He says, "The zeal of the Lord shall perform this." So God is responsible for bringing this to us. And so here he tells us through his word, through the prophet, God said, "Everything that I have for you, everything I think toward you is thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected." So again, God has a destiny for all of us, and it's always good. And if we follow God, then we're going to reach our destiny. But the way he do it is through his men of God that he brought and put you over to mature you for that you can work in the ministry, that you, the body of Christ, can be edified. And when those words come out, when he reveal those words to his men of God, to his prophets, and then we receive those words. Again, I say we have an obligation to receive them and to apply them. And then we can see the manifestation. And it's all about the supernatural. It's all about God doing things that out of the ordinary, so as we've been trained to operate in this supernatural kingdom that God has given to us. And we begin to see manifestation as we begin to act on them, have faith in what God is telling us, and follow through. And the supernatural will become, again, as natural to us as breathing. God did not lie. Numbers 23:19 tell us, "For God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good." So he's telling us, he's giving us all these good things in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul say every promise of God is yea and amen to us who believe. So we are believers. We came into the kingdom by believing. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. It tells us that in Romans 10:8-9, 9, 8, and 10. He says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, he says we shall be saved. So we were saved because we believe. He says in Romans 12:3, he says, "Given to every man the measure of faith that we can have that belief." And so believe those things that God has said to us. And so then all we have to do is begin to apply it to our lives. We act on it. We don't just hear it anymore, but we begin to act on what we say. And so, again, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The supernatural tools introduce an infusion of sensitivity towards heaven's activity and plans. The anointing on the prophet actually equips us to have our own heavenly experiences, our own heavenly experience. So we not just the prophets can have heavenly experiences anymore. as he ministered to you, we can also have our own heavenly experiences. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No sicknesses, no diseases, no lack, no poverty. And so what an awesome life that we can operate. He said we can have days of heaven right here on earth. God said that. And since he said it, we take it for ourselves and believe what he said, and we can begin to act on it and see those manifestations operate in our lives. And the last scripture I'm going to give you again, when Jesus said, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And that prophet's reward is whatever comes out of his mouth, whatever you've been seeking God for, and it comes out of his mouth, and you take it and you believe it and you act on it, and then you can see the manifestation of it. Amen. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we're no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Yes.